Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now. Congratulations to all of you, because it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. I did take note of this weekend's rushing and receive and passing numbers again. 4 of the 5 top passers lost.
Man.
And 4 of the 5 top rushers lost.
Oh.
So this week,
the bloodbath out there.
You could neither win nor lose by rushing or throwing.
Hold on.
Should have punted.
Yeah. Do you think that's because John Harbaugh forgot he had a top rusher?
That's a possibility.
And he's like,
possibility. Eh. It is interesting, though, Kansas City ran for 50 yards and won. That was the lowest of all the teams that rushed. 285 for Philly, 176 for one of the four.
Barkley?
No, 176 for the Ravens.
Okay.
And then 182 for Washington. So that's an interesting, those are interesting numbers that Philly, Kansas City, 50 yards. And still was able to get the
win. It's kind of like if you look at the offensive stats for Buffalo coming out of that game passing, and you're like, eh,
yeah.
But they were fine.
And I think Trey Wingo said it, Kevin. It was very much the feeling that if you just control the ball, if you just don't give up the booty, if you just keep it within yourself, you're going to be better off at the end of these games. You're going to have this chance. You're going to have that kind of a lead. I wonder if Buffalo had been behind, if they'd have played this game a lot differently. But because they had the lead, they were like, we can keep salting these things away and force them to try and have to come back and have a late game heroic. And the late game heroic did not turn out for them. So it's always an interesting conversation there. But the hits and misses of the weekend, we'll start with the misses. Honorable mention, Aaron Glenn. Does this change your opinion on Aaron Glenn? You weren't high on him. You were higher on Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I do like Aaron Glenn. I'm very high on him.
I don't think that this changes anything. I also don't know if I was thinking that he was like the number one candidate for all jobs. But I feel like there are going to be a couple of jobs out there that still need a coach that are like, he fits our criteria.
Look. I go back to this.
He's a defensive-minded coach. He's a leader of men. He's kind of got an old-school vibe about him, and he's got a good defense, but there are a lot of questions I still have about him.
Their offense turned the ball over 5 times. Like, in addition to all the injuries, I know people are talking about the injuries. Your offense turned the ball over 5 times. It's like...
You going to sit back and blame the offense on that
one? Yes, I am.
Number 3 on the misses of the weekend. Kevin, I will give you the floor. John Harbaugh. You're done with John Harbaugh now.
Like, I just don't understand. And I know, like, he's got the most road playoff wins in the history of football. And I get all that. But, like, you saw that Derrick Henry was not to be stopped in the second half. You get the ball. He runs the ball 1 time for 12 yards. Then you go away from him and you kick a field goal. Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next drive. Next drive. Lesson learned. They give the ball to Derrick Henry five times, and he has 46 yards rushing. I get it. He also dropped that ball. I think it was in the first half that he definitely should have caught. That would have been a first down, kept things moving. But he's running the ball, and he just marches you down the field, including scoring the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do on the next drive? The next two drives, he gets the ball twice. And on the final drive, I think he was in for one play. And so that in part led to the turnover. I don't care how much faith you have in Mark Andrews. Like, rock on. Good for you. You have something that looks unstoppable on the field right now.
That you wouldn't purchase this offseason for this specific moment.
Yes. And you're like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not even saying you needed to give the ball to him on the two-point conversion. You probably should have had him out there on the field. I also hate how quickly they scored. Look, and that could be a conversation for another day, because if you need to score to tie the game, you score to tie the game. I still think Buffalo would have scored after that, even if they got the two-point conversion. I just don't understand what happened there.
I just got a fantastic piece of information from Alec Medford that I'm really looking forward to dropping at the end of this one, because I think you guys are going to love this too.
Okay.
Shoddy got the contract.
No. I feel like we
should definitely say that now.
It's card related.
It's the C block. We got to wait.
Yeah, it's card related for you guys though. Oh. So get excited about that. So when it comes to the Harbaugh-Lamar combo, which one do you trust least?
I'm being a prisoner of the moment right now, and I'm saying John Harbaugh. Once everything calms down, I'll probably be like, well, I can point to him having won before, and unfortunately, I guess it's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, see, that's the weird thing is, because you look at both of their careers, and you're like, really good things. You know, they put you in position to get to these playoffs. Because of what they are, they have a good foundation, But are they that elite? Does it go over to the top?
I mean, I can't...
Because Harbaugh's done it once, you can kind of give him a thumbs up.
I can't argue in favor of... And this is the frustrating part. Because, like, if you want to pin this loss on Lamar Jackson, I know there are bullet points. It's the first time he's turned the ball over twice in a game all season. It's the first time he turned the ball over twice in the first half in a game in more than 4 years. But you were still there in the second half with the game for the taking. I think yesterday, John Harbaugh failed Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson was redeeming after failing himself in the first half.
But
you're not going to get that nuance, and I understand. I'm not just talking about today. I'm saying in 10 years. Oh, Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. I don't know. Look at this playoff game right here. 29-27. Looks like Josh Allen won. Like, that's what's going to get lost in a year, 5-10 years.
Number two on the misses of the weekend, Jared Goff, 313 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, was concussed on a play. And still kind of interesting that he didn't get some sort of call. Like, they didn't add some penalties to that after that, because they lit him up underneath that chin. But Jared Goff wasn't good, and Detroit loses because of that. I really do blame a lot more of it on Jared Goff's play, because that should have been one of those 47-42 games, you know, that it came down to the last minute. Because Jared Goff didn't keep pace the way that everybody else did, they were in a bad situation.
I'm here to argue along with you. I know I said Ben Johnson's my top candidate. I think walking out of that game, I blame the offense more than the defense, which I get is a weird thing to say when you gave up 45 points, but obviously one of those is a pick six. The offense really let them down.
I know both guys lost, Stafford and Goff, but would you say the reason that McVay said, I have to go to Stafford 4 years ago, if I have the years right, is what you saw?
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, he's gonna maybe make a big mistake, and I know that I maybe can't get out of him what I need.
Let me ask you guys a question then, if I may. Did you not think that Matthew Stafford, especially after that Puka catch on the sideline, was going to win?
Yes.
Like, I thought the Rams were still going to win.
I was so pumped.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It really was.
That was amazing.
Was it the guard or the center? He's like, blocking stupid.
Dude, they were literally doing it. And then that play happens. And you're like, well, why did you? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You thought you were about to see a legendary moment, Kevin. If you go look at Twitter, I had tweeted out, hey, this guy's built for, is this his moment? Is this his got to have it moment? And I guess not. Like, unfortunately, Matthew Stafford, because of other things around him, it wasn't in the cards. Number one for the misses of the weekend, the Texans offensive line. We talked about it all year long.
Yikes.
They were miserable against Kansas City. CJ Stroud sacked 8 times, which was one more than Jalen Hurts, who won. So I guess that's a thing. But that offensive line was so bad. I mean, it was just terrible. And Stroud didn't benefit from it at all over the weekend. Honorable mention for the hits of the weekend, Travis Kelce. He's in my honorable mention.
Yeah.
He showed he's still the dude, 117 on 7 catches. Looked like the easiest touchdown that he's maybe ever had. He just went and stood in the end zone. The ball landed in his stomach.
Was that the one where he kind of was going forward?
Yeah, where Mahomes was falling on his face.
How did he know to go right there? Like, it was.
They know each other. And you know what's amazing? It looked like the Texans players were stunned that he had the ball because they're like, hold on, you're just there?
What the crap
just
happened?
That's where the ball was? That play was amazing. Like I said, the Lions play might have looked cooler just because Goff's throw was off.
Yeah.
And was it Laporta who had to make that crazy catch? It's mind-boggling to think that Patrick Mahomes can be falling down and be like, don't worry, I know exactly where this guy is going to be. And that's where he was.
That is, what's that all? ESP? Have that together? They hear the footsteps. Also, honorable mention, Jahmyr Gibbs, 6 catches for 70 yards, 105 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. He did everything he could. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs literally did everything he could possibly do to put his team in position to get that win.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep, each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's why it falls in under honorable mention. But Kevin, that's a dude right there we discussed over the weekend. I have my notes on the teams. Jalen Carter was one of them. He made a big play over the weekend.
Man, did he.
Jahmyr Gibbs was one of them. He made big plays. Terry McLaurin was definitely in that list. And I thought Stafford, I had him listed on there too. And I was like, here's the moment. And he didn't live up to it. But Jahmyr Gibbs, wonderful job in the playoffs again.
I just don't want it to turn into like, I knew the Eagles were going to win. Once Puka made that catch, I was like, oh my God, the Rams are going to win this game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Number three on the hits of the weekend, George Karlaftis. Three sacks, and he just looked like he was everywhere when that game was closing out. That dude went so late. You go look at when he was drafted, you're like, how did this dude make it down here again? And he's on this team? It's the perfect person.
Can I give credit to you, to Wolchuk and Broadus? And if more people deserve credit, I apologize. George Karlaftis is a name that came up.
Mm-hmm.
They all were like,
over and over.
Oh, I would like that player very much.
And granted, I think that was Tyler Smith. I believe that's Smith draft. So you're all right there.
Nobody.
But Karlaftis looked really good. And he's part of a really talented defense. That defense
that
is stacked. Number two, yes.
And they can call up blitzes that seems impossible for the five offensive linemen and a tight end and running back to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, Spagnuolo knows what he's doing.
Their blitz calling is impressive.
And it's the timing of it. He is so good at when he decides to line those up. And he's always been so effective as a defensive coordinator.
It feels very much like the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce connection. Like, he just knows. Now is the time to do this blitz, and I think it's going to work.
Number two, Saquon Barkley, 205 yards, two touchdowns. I think he had like 40 yards or 21 yards receiving or something like that. It wasn't that significant.
He had
two
huge chunk blitz.
Unfortunately, Kevin, last week he didn't break off that 78-yard touchdown, so I didn't get my daily fantasy numbers that I would have liked to have gotten.
Can I just tell you?
We broke it off this week.
Did you know on Underdog, you can turn two L's into a W? I've actually already done that this year.
And then number one for me on the hits and misses was Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. Their weekend was very special to me. Just seeing Jaden Daniels live up to the moment, not... We'll use the term that Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott, not blink. Like, he didn't blink at all. He just looked like he belonged in that moment, and that was impressive to watch again.
I will tell you the same thing as we go along, and we'll get more in-depth on these games. If Jaden, he's not Patrick Mahomes. It'll take years and years and years. But just in the short term, if Jaden Daniels gets the ball in his hand with the potential to win the game, I think I'm going to believe that they're going to go make the Super Bowl.
And then, Kevin, I got this from Alec Medford moments ago.
Is that who you're rooting for?
Tops has reported that Bobby Witt Jr. has a secret Instagram for his card collection. It's bdubs.cards on Instagram.
Do you think he appreciates?
He's open to trades. He's open to trades on Instagram.
Clay Thompson, figure out how to play basketball again. Jeez!
And does Bobby Witt appreciate...
But he got outed like that by Tops. He's like, hey, Tops, this was a secret.
More importantly, get Clay out of this game.
Okay. So you're rooting for Jimmy Butler trade.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
All right. So coming up next, Clay Thompson needs to be out of this game. The Stars dominate last night, and we'll do Wanker of the Weekend. There's going to be a lot coming at you next right here on The Fan.
Stars trying to take advantage of the break. One-timer save, rebound, score!
See Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where Gavin Dawson, you're more than welcome to come on in and watch the game in studio. You don't necessarily have to contribute if you don't want, but if you do want, please.
I think he decided to stay out in the hall so that he could avoid Mike's yelling. I think that was kind of scaring him a little bit.
Yeah.
Makes a little bit of sense.
How many times that Dinwiddie would see what the PSI in the ball was again.
Actually, I was eating a loud snack out there, and I know how much that annoys Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, dude, if I walk in there with this game like this and I'm crunching.
Oh, why do we put Clay back in?
Okay. All right. Hey, wait. We just really don't do live play-by-play. It'll get us in trouble. Hey, there you go. Gafford's.
Oh, good job not getting the ball, Clay.
Daniel
just
Gafford
grab the ball.
Is...
One time this game. Don't act like you're 45 years old.
Daniel Gafford has 31 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 blocks at the moment. So congratulations on his game. But we know the Mavericks do like to spoil Daniel Gafford games. So
hey,
how this goes.
What happens if it's – here's what I was thinking out there as I was walking the halls and peering in on the game. What happens if it's a West Coast game, Mike, and this is going down at like 11:30 at night in your house?
Yeah, Mike, what would you have done right then?
You quiet
down. Sometimes I turn off the TV. I'm like, I can't watch this. I can't put my body, I cannot put my brain through this.
But have you ever woken your family up by yelling, pass the GD ball at like midnight?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I usually will yell in a positive way. That'll get me like, oh, crap, I forgot. But I'm not going to blame Kyrie. Made a bad pass there. The problem is Clay can't chase anybody down to foul. God, we put in a... I don't dislike Clay. It's just that he's just really slow and old.
We only get like one of these kind of games a year where we get a Mavs noon tip off.
So. On a weekday.
Yeah.
Like, it's 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Yeah. And of course, because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But I wanted to shout out the Stars as well. Man, you talk about a turn of events over the weekend. They got absolutely smoked on Saturday in part because they put in their backup goaltender, who's been really good this year.
Uh-huh. You were just bragging about him the other day.
He's been really good this year. Then you come back tomorrow, or I guess that would have been yesterday. You get a pair of assists from Duchesne. You get the power play goal that we just played from Jace Robertson. Dominant performance from Jake Ottinger. 4-1 Stars because we own Detroit.
Red Wings haven't won in Dallas since 2015-16.
I believe that because I think the Stars have won 8 straight against Detroit. Not just home games, but just 8 straight overall. So they have been ruling over Detroit, who is not as terrible as perhaps they had been previously this year. They're not good. They're fine.
And I'm just glad that Jason Robertson heard our criticisms of him and was I'll show you guys. Because he's gone out there.
Great.
He's just been fantastic.
I wish that would work on other things. Jerry Jones will never put in all of the work. I would love for him to call in and be like, in your face. Or however that would go down. All right. We're also going to mix in as the Mavericks game goes down to the wire, and you can hear Mike's reactions, I'm sure, as we go along.
We might want to keep our hand around the dump button.
That's a good point.
Case.
Wanker of the weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend, and why was it the people who set up the nets at the Australian Open?
Bunch of wankers.
That's right.
Good eye, wanker.
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 So Jannik Sinner... He has a really high, a really heavy serve.
Okay.
I get that. But it took down the net, and it took them 20 minutes to get the net back up. All right. Look, I can't do that job, so maybe I'm the wrong person. I thought that was Mavericks ball. So maybe I'm the wrong person for this. But it feels like you should have a contingency plan for all these huge servers in the men's game. If it takes down the net, you can get it back up in faster than 20 minutes.
What do they have nets up for in tennis?
For the essential game?
Same thing for ping pong.
Like the net that you hit the ball over.
Oh, the one in the middle. Like not like to protect the fans.
Yes.
Okay, I was
Did
for some reason.
Did you think one of his serves like rocketed out into
the
crowd?
It's a tennis ball. What are we doing? It's not a baseball. Jeez.
No, yes. The net, because I was like, I don't know, the fundamental element of the game existing.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
That net is what they took down.
20 minutes to get that sucker.
And it took them 20 minutes because it detached from the court after a big serve.
They were like the one guy that knows how to do this. He's on break right now.
But like, did he? Because did he not put the net up very well?
Mm.
Or was it bad in the post?
That's a good
where
question.
They're like, no, the net was put up great. It's a freak accident. But you guys should have had this back up quicker than that.
He had like a dollar store twist tie holding that thing down.
Yeah.
Look, I thought it was good, mate.
But it did not. It was not. All right.
Can
I just say real quick?
You think that's Mavericks ball?
15 seconds to go. I believe the Mavs are challenging the foul. It is out of bounds on Miles Bridges. It would be the Mavericks ball if they overturn it with 15 seconds to go, approximately down by two.
All right. I think Gene Steratore has got to go in Wanker of the Weekend for deciding not to have his own opinions and just going with whatever the NFL told him to say. Here's a back and forth with Gene Steratore, and good on Tony Romo for calling out the BS on this. Lamar Jackson gets tackled, and the tackle finishes, I don't know, about 6 yards out of bounds. Cut number 12 is Steratore trying to defend it.
Wow, he turned it on. That should be Gene. You know, I see Oliver that grabs him right before he's out of bounds, so they're allowing him to finish the tackle there as opposed to a hit that happens or is initiated after he's out of bounds, fellas.
I mean, I feel like that was late. I mean, he's too precious. I mean, you can't allow that to happen. He goes down, that changes everything so fast.
There's Henry.
I just really like Romo's like, I'm not backing down from this. It was a bad call, Gene. I know you got to support what the NFL is saying, but just say it's a bad call and go with it.
Yeah, that was. I like that there was this pause of Romo going, should I say it or not? Should I say it? And then he just decided, I'm going to go ahead and go through with it.
Yes!
It does seem like the guy who's in charge of that a lot of times, whatever, you know, rules analyst they have, a lot of times is either just really wrong or goes with, hey, look, I'm just going to go with whatever answer they say, because that's the... Ultimately, I won't look wrong whenever I do it that way.
They don't want to show up their guys on the field.
That too.
Yes.
If you don't have the cojones to be critical, if you're too worried that one of them is going to text you that night saying, man, you really let me down in that booth, you know, then you don't belong on that job, Gene.
I agree.
He's too precious.
You've left the officiating fraternity, and you are now an entertainer of the fans. Please, deliver.
He is too precious. Now, we did pick on the Dodgers earlier, but I'm going to throw them out there again. Are the Dodgers the wanker of the weekend, or is it MLB for letting their prepackaged deal with Sasaki go down? Is it the fact that they went ahead and followed up getting Sasaki by getting an $18 million a year closer? We're to the point where shouldn't they win like 140 games this next year?
Yep.
Well, you know me, Higgy. I guess I always got to localize this thing and just point out the fact that maybe Ray's the wanker of the week. Ray Davis, Rangers owner.
Wow.
Yeah.
For not
That's how a big
spending the money.
Yeah. No, we don't want to do luxury tax. You know, we might lose draft picks. Dodgers are like, well, F them picks. We'll take all the players.
Yeah.
Because it, I mean, like.
Talent wins you World Series.
I mean, that's great. But like, I guess this is my other question, because I'm still mad that the Dodgers just got all the players. Are all these players going to click well and be like, our team's fine?
Man, that is an interesting question. When you have that much talent, you gotta be a guy like Dave Roberts, I feel, and just manage ego more than anything else. Keep all the egos of together, and so they're not pulling apart from each other. I feel like Mookie Betts is the kind of guy that is a really good clubhouse guy to keep that thing going.
I will say, out of all the teams that have won in the last 25 years, approximately, that haven't gone back to back. You're getting Shohei Ohtani into the rotation. He didn't pitch a single game last year. You think Yamamoto will be more healthy and more adept to what a major league schedule is like. I do think Sasaki will be good, but I think that he'll have issues with how it works in major league baseball. But aren't they the team that looks like that they should go back to back?
Yes.
Like out of all
absolutely.
The teams that have won, like you look at this team and go,
I kind of think they should go like back to back to back.
How do they not win at all?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Believe it or not, Corey, this is a sentence we don't get to say very often. We're going to go back to tennis.
What?
For Wanker of the Weekend.
There's a reason we don't get to say this often.
That's a fair point. Did you see that an Australian broadcaster, Tony Jones, backed down? Because Novak Djokovic said he didn't want to do like a post-match interview. Because Tony Jones, man, on Friday, he said that Novak Djokovic, who has more singles majors than any male competitor in the history of the sport, was overrated and has been, and they should kick him out. Look, if you think he's overrated, you can at least have a discussion. I don't personally agree with that.
Has been at this point?
No, I mean, he's in the quarterfinals.
But is that the final?
No, and he's going to play Carlos Alcaraz, and he's going to be an underdog. But the point is, He did make it to the quarterfinals, and then when he said kick him out, and because of that, Novak's like, nah, I heard it. I'm boycotting your station. So then Tony Jones apologized for crossing the line by heckling fans and really just going full troll on this.
Oh my gosh. That's the way to do it. I loved who was the female tennis player that was heckling the fans the whole time?
Oh yeah. Who's the endorsers love.
I love that. That's what tennis needs. Needs more of that. Needs more of that action.
Personality.
Yeah. Give us a Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka rivalry. That we can get behind, something that we can attach ourselves to.
Okay.
Stop playing whenever it's really late in the middle of the night, and so I have to stay up late and watch or get up early.
But that's just a product of being in Australia, right? Not all the tennis is like that.
Is this one.
By the way, one of the NHL's golden boys, Connor McDavid, I don't know if that suspension has come down yet. I should have double-checked that before this. My apologies. But he's facing a suspension after a really dirty play in which he had another player down. And then essentially, like, it looked like it was over. We're moving on. And then he's like, I'm just going to try to smash your face down in the ice again.
Oh, that's rude.
And so it looks like he is, I would assume, going to get suspended. I am curious why the referees were just watching them kind of lay on each other. And then they were like, I'm good.
And yeah, I think that's a good question, Kevin.
Way to go,
Clay.
We're gonna have unhappy Mike for the next 20
minutes. Mavs lose again.
So what happened in that pause?
Where's Mr. 500?
Is if you've been listening, Mike Bacsik has really run Clay Thompson into the ground in these last several minutes. Clay Thompson got the open three and the look that would have tied the... Well, I guess it wasn't entirely open. He made the pump fake. But he got the three, would have tied the game with just a few seconds left to go.
Pretty clean look for where they were at in the game. I think PJ did a good job of... Luckily, Charlotte's stupid at basketball. They're still going to beat us. They all sucked into the free throw line because he drove it to the free throw line and gave Clay a pretty open look to tie the game. He missed. Mavs lose. Again.
110-105 is the final.
Dinwiddie had a good game, though. He went 3 of 11, 0 of 6 from the 3.
I felt like that was going to be a sarcastic. He had
seven
a
whole
game.
Points. So our starting backcourt, Dinwiddie and Thompson, had 14 whole points on about
that was
62
ugly.
Shots.
That was sloppy, discombobulated. That reminded me of, like, Luka in the scrub time. That reminded me of like 4 years ago, Mavs basketball.
I've been wondering about Malcolm Brogdon. I've been hearing he might be on the market, and I'm just like wondering, what's his defense like? If he's
really good.
Sixth man of the year a few years ago.
Yeah.
So like if he could come off the bench as your backup point guard and defensive guard, like could Malcolm Brogdon, not a big name, but could he be a guy that could take over the Dinwiddie minutes and really help you out?
You will love his intensity. You'd love his professionalism, his toughness. Like, Malcolm Brogdon definitely gets the most out of his talent. He's tuned into
the
game plan.
That's a good way to put that. Yeah. I like that. And I do think his defense has slipped a bit, but I think it's slipped a bit from, like, very good level to it's still good.
He's gotten old and hurt many times.
I still think it's good. But this is another thing, and Corey brought this up. This is the second time in the last 2 weeks that the Mavericks have wasted a monster effort from Daniel Gafford. What was it just like last Wednesday? He had 27-12. You don't win that game. Tonight, or I guess this afternoon, he had another huge game. I think 31-15.
Yeah. And six block shots.
Wow.
He had three assists.
The Mavericks, crazy. You know, the game is what it is today. 6 of 32 as a team from three. 18.8%.
How bad they get out rebounded?
I don't think bad. 51-49, they actually out-rebounded Charlotte.
Their three-point shooting.
Because Omax had a bunch of rebounds, I know, earlier.
Yeah, looked rough down the stretch. They couldn't get a rebound they needed, couldn't get a loose ball. You're just playing guys out of roles too much.
Some dude named Kessler Edwards played 9 worthless minutes.
You got the name right. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, I'll get it right from now on.
Can I just point out, though?
No clue he was on the team.
The person who was getting a lot of those rebounds is somebody that we talked about a couple of years ago, Mark Williams, the product from Duke. He had 13 rebounds.
And you got him in early foul trouble, but at the half, you were tied at 55. So, there's always tomorrow. Yeah, how are you going to beat Charlotte, dude? That's their 10th win.
Man.
Wow. Well, at least Brandon Miller didn't play for them, so that didn't give you an advantage. So,
so the Mavericks will be back in action on Wednesday. Against
they
Minnesota.
Beat OKC.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's just, but I know. Think about this. But think about the stretch ahead of you. You just got Charlotte. That was your, like, hey, here's your chance to win. Wednesday, Minnesota. Thursday, Oklahoma City. Saturday, Boston. So, boom, boom, boom. What, three of the best four teams in the league?
Yeah.
Four-game losing streak.
Yeah, so it kind of feels like
that. It can
that.
Be done.
What's up with Derek Lively? Is it just he has a kid's body and they just don't want to play him much? Or does he have a real injury right now?
A sprained ankle.
All right.
Yeah.
Man.
That happened mid last week, maybe Tuesday. And I know Jason Kidd was hopeful he'd only miss a game, but what are we at now? Three or four games missed? So.
What's the suspension for taking the juice?
Oh my gosh.
No. I'm asking a question. I was just asking, like,
you know how I feel about these things.
I know in baseball, it's 81 games. It's half a year your first time, I believe.
In the NFL, it's two games.
Is it two or four?
I think it depends on which one it is.
Okay. Yeah.
First is two, second is four. I mean, they're like, go ahead and take steroids if you're bad.
It does kind of feel like that. It was the same thing when Goodell was like, we do not tolerate domestic violence on women, except for all these people that have done it that we're going to let back into the game. We don't like it. We'll suspend you for a minute, but you absolutely tolerate it.
We do.
Coming up next, we've already got a taste of it. Let's go full on. With full that chit chat. Full taste.
Sounds like you want to taste Gavin.
With the cheese.
Well.
I'll pass.
Well, we can't do it now. Change your teas because you're not going to get the
he
full taste.
He already said no.
Coming up next, who else is delicious on the G-Bag Nation right here on the Fan?
Goff has time. Throws. Oh, and that is picked off. That is picked off by Quan Martin. 25-20. 15. 10. 5. Pick. 6. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Quan Martin!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing. How are you, Haggie?
There's a lot of stuff going on. We just saw the Mavericks lose to the Hornets, and the next three games, I believe, are the Timberwolves, Thunder, and the Celtics. So, yeah, maybe that could turn out well. We started the show with this, and this is going to tie into some information that we're hearing from Nick Harris. There have been a lot of reasons for the Cowboys to change in the past. They haven't. So all the people who think that this win by Washington will be an embarrassment for the Cowboys now that they have the longest run in the NFC without being to the NFC Championship game, I don't think that's going to be the case whatsoever. They already had the eighth longest run without making it to a conference championship game. Now you have a potential to drop it down to 7. And they're the longest run in the NFC, 1995. Every other team's been there since 2010. And I think we're a couple of wins away from every team being there twice since the Cowboys last got there. So for everybody who's excited about the win for Washington because they think it's going to change the Cowboys and the Jones family mind, I think that is absolute madness.
Well said, Hagee. I think they don't care at all. They probably think it's great that some of their partners inside the division have been so successful, which will make their fans more excited and the ratings for those four games more interesting next year.
Yeah, or you'll hear what can we do? Be the best two teams in the NFC in our division.
How could you overcome?
How can you fight against that?
Injuries?
It's all 70 something points.
Nobody would have got hurt this year for the Cowboys.
Yeah. So this morning, Bobby got caught up, and this took off about Brian Schottenheimer being installed at some places as a -250 favorite to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know that killed Sean Sharif's heart and soul because that would not be exciting, but we're hearing other news as of this afternoon. Corey, where are we at?
This is from Nick Harris. He said that a lot of people he's been talking to say that it would be a surprise if Schottenheimer was the next head coach. Here are a couple of quotes that he threw in here that I think are interesting. There's still an overwhelming feeling that Moore is the leader, and some believe Saleh is closing in following a strong interview Saturday. Quote, this buzz has me believing that this will lead to Schottenheimer sticking around, but as OC, for whichever head coach does end up landing the job. So that's a I don't know if that gives you any more information or just throws more smoke into the room, but that's where we are.
Sala doesn't drink, and he is a very sensitive guy. He believes, he hears everything you say about him, and he's very much mindful of those types of things. I would be surprised. I think that, and Wolchek, I know you've got sources on your end of it too, talking about maybe if he were to offer, been offered another job.
Yeah, I think if he had his choice between Jacksonville and Dallas, he's got a really good relationship with Shad Khan. They're both of the same faith there in Jacksonville. He'd have a little bit more autonomy to do what he wants to do in Jacksonville, which he really didn't get to do with the Jets even. And that'd probably still be a problem here with Jerry and the Cowboys. Yeah. So if the Ben Johnson stuff doesn't work out with Jacksonville, which they still believe they're very involved in that right now. They're not out on Ben. But if he chooses somewhere else, I think Sala would take that.
I think that's excellent insight right there. I also feel like, though, too, you have to look at this situation, the players might be rallying for Schottenheimer as an OC, regardless who gets the coach. So maybe that's why you're hearing some of the things you're hearing about his availability here.
Now, we can talk about the Mavs if you want. I'll admit I'm far more interested in football from this weekend or tonight. My biggest talking point, and I know there's a lot that goes into it, and I realize I love Lamar Jackson. I do not understand why the Ravens did not take better advantage of Derrick Henry in the second half yesterday. It boggles my mind.
Yeah, they were running all over him there in the second half. I mean, their drive to almost tie it when they get to the 2-point, they get to 19, now they're down 2. That whole drive was basically just runs.
5 carries, 46 yards from Derrick Henry alone on that drive. He touched the ball 2 more times in the rest of the game.
Oh my gosh. And not to give him the ball on either one of those 2-point attempts.
Or even, he wasn't even out on the field for the other one.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you need to, I understand. And like, if Mark Andrews catches the ball, do we have a totally different conversation? Do we talk about how they didn't bleed as much time off the clock as they probably could have if they ran the ball? Maybe, maybe, maybe. But to not even have Derrick Henry on the field for that play, that feels like somebody you have to be like, whoa. Watch out for that big MF-er back there.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of these offensive coordinators are struggling with what to do when our running game is dominating because we feel like we need to pass sometimes. And I feel
I could see that.
It bit Detroit. It bites a lot of these guys, you know, and I don't know what the issue is. If I'm running the football and you can't stop it, and I'm the head coach, I'd be like, dude, I don't want to see any more passes until they prove they can stop this.
It's called two stupid pills and a cup of Gatorade.
Yeah.
Is what that's called.
Yeah.
That's what it is. These coaches way overthink. And you hear me a lot bitch about coaches not knowing the condition of their team. That's what it is right there. That's not knowing the condition of your team and when you should go for two to kill this thing or when you should go for it on fourth down and kill this thing. You got to know these things, and the really good ones can do it. The really bad ones are going home. And John Harbaugh, they're talking about him now potentially getting fired.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
So 17 years of, you know, we talk about lack of playoff success. Well, now he's staring at that on Baltimore radio.
You know, that is really interesting because I hadn't thought about that at all. And we talked about, I'm not saying it's fair, but playoff narratives are instantly shaped and it's tough to break people from them. And in 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, no one's going to give you the nuance of why this game was lost. They'd be like, oh, Lamar Jackson lost to Josh Allen.
Sure.
That's interesting, the idea of somebody else running the team and Derrick Henry comes back and you still have Lamar playing the best football of his entire career, especially in the regular season, what that would look like.
If I were the Cowboys and I heard that, I would not make a single hiring move. And I would wait and see if Mr. Harbaugh ends up being on the market, because that would
instantly
be. You're going
to go a whole season without a coach just for Harbaugh?
If they fire him right now,
whatever it takes.
Let's do it. You know, Jerry, just go ahead and coach the team. You basically want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So just name yourself the head coach for a year. We'll see how that goes, and that's fine. But it is ridiculous. You signed Derrick Henry for this moment. Like, this is exactly it. Last year, the narrative was you passed the ball too much, you didn't run it, you bring Derrick Henry, he's the move that's end up going to change this in the postseason.
And he was doing it!
What happens? You have an opportunity. 2-point conversion. I'm thinking Derrick Henry's getting the ball. Even if they're in shotgun, give it to the train. Make him go 2 yards into the end zone. They throw it, and it's unfortunate because ultimately the play worked. They just didn't execute it.
It did. Mike, do you want to complain about the Mavs, or are you set?
No, it's fine. I mean, they're going to be 500
probably at the All-Star break. I know that's still a ways away, and they're going to have to battle their ass off to get into the playoffs. Like, it is what it is with the injuries, and they're trying their best. Like, that's, I don't know.
I agree with that.
It stinks. Like, the
game's
over. Daniel
Gafford's especially trying his
Dinwiddie
best.
And Klay Thompson were pathetic tonight. It's what you're dealing with. Maybe you can trade for a Malcolm Brogdon to help out your kind of sixth man situation as a 6'4 guard who can play defense and run maybe the show more consistently than Dinwiddie.
I get you.
But it is what it is. And, I mean, you got to just think of this playoff round here. Hurts and Daniels, they have as many playoff wins this year as Romo and Dak combined. So ever since Troy Aikman retired, you have Hurts and you have Daniels, who each have 2 playoff wins just this year, and that equals the amount of playoff wins the Cowboys have since 1999.
Hey, what do you guys got coming up on the show?
Pure Gold, as always. Aggie, thanks so much for asking. Yes. We are excited to talk about the Cowboys coaching search and the divisional weekend, and, of course, the national championship game at 5:20. Denton Day, who hosts college football overtime on Sirius, but also works at 106.7 The Fan in D.C. is going to join us for a wall-to-wall football conversation. How about that booking from Woolchuck?
I like it.
It's a good book.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say, let's go America, Kevin.
Let's go America.
He's too precious.